I want to share today. It would be a Thanksgiving message, I guess I could call it. But this for me, this is every day. So, the title of the message is "Thank God for Common Grace." And the reason why I chose that title is because I've come to the understanding that it's something I've been doing for I don't know, the last few years. And you've heard it as well. Every morning for years, I've been thanking God for creating all things. I've mentioned this multiple times. For creating all things, that's John 1:1. For sustaining all things, that's what Hebrews 1:3. For reconciling all things to himself, that's Colossians 1:20. And according to the scriptures, Revelation 21:5, that God's going to make all things new. Amen. And so every day I get up and I thank God that for everything that he's done. Amen. But I also thank him for letting me know him and revealing himself to me, to us, the body of Christ. Now, what I've been thanking God for in the creating all things actually is being taught in the Reformed Church as common grace. You may have heard of common grace. I've heard of it over the years, but I never really studied it or read up on it. So I did that this week, and I found, yeah, that's what I've been thanking God for, and that's what we do on a daily basis. I remember growing up in the Baptist Church. And people would get up to testify. They say, first giving thanks to God who woke me up this morning and started me on my way. That's common fare in the Baptist church. People say that all the time. Well, that's not because of salvation. That's because of God's common grace. Okay, common grace as opposed to specific or what they call salvific grace, the grace where you and I are saved. And through Jesus Christ, by the forgiveness of sins, that's special grace or salvific grace, which is different from common grace. Common grace comes to all people. It's universal. And it comes to everyone who's ever been born has experienced common grace. So I want to share a little bit about common grace. I don't have many slides. I don't have a whole lot to say, but the reality of this fact that we rejoice in it each and every day was so just joyous to me, so liberating. And in fact, our Thanksgiving holiday is based upon common grace. Amen. Not salvific grace, not special grace, but common grace that comes to all people. So this one explanation of it or summary of it I found online reads as follows. Common grace as an expression of the goodness of God is every favor, some would say blessing, albeit temporal, is every favor falling short of salvation. Now this is common grace happens to everyone, believers and non-believers, right, alike. Falling short of salvation, which this undeserving and sin-cursed world enjoys at the hand of God. Let me read that again. Common grace as an expression of the goodness of God is every favor falling short of salvation, which this undeserving and sin-cursed world enjoys at the hand of God. This includes the delay of wrath, the mitigation of our sin natures, natural events that lead to prosperity, and all gifts that humans use and enjoy naturally. Let me say, in my view, that's why a musical artist in the Grammys or whatever the music awards, when they get up and give an award, they can take the award and say, I want to thank God for this award. And then after the award ceremony, go sit in an orgy and have sexual relations and just have no clue, you see. They thank God for the good things that happened to them, but they're still sinners. You understand? Right? So, let me read another one. Common grace is the source of all human virtue and accomplishment, even that of unbelievers who have not been regenerated by the saving grace of God. Common grace includes God's favor toward all humanity, God's restraint of sin, God's preservation of the cosmos, of humanity, and of culture, and God's distribution of talents to all humanity. The biblical doctrine of common grace addresses God's non-saving blessings. Now, remember a couple of weeks ago, I said that Acts 3:26, that if you are not being turned away from your sins, you have not been blessed. That's salvific grace. Amen. Indeed, common grace will do you will be of no good to you if you aren't saved eternally by God's saving grace. Let's be clear. I need to make that, because when we say common grace, we begin to think, well, the grace of God through Jesus Christ for salvation. No, that's salvific grace. Common grace is what everyone enjoys, and well, unbelievers, we don't even give thanks to God for it. Hello. We just get up and enjoy it every day, like our breathing. Amen. Like our being able to get up out of the bed in the morning, like being in our right mind, like the earth not being overrun. The Noahic covenant, God said, I will never destroy the earth with water again. I mean, that's the grace of God. God hasn't destroyed all the wicked immediately, right? Why? He allows his grace to sustain us until his elect might be taken out. The elect might be saved. The biblical doctrine of common grace addresses God's non-saving blessings on all humanity, saved and unsaved alike. So, R.C. Sproul, who passed away a few years ago, wrote, the doctrine of common grace encompasses the biblical teaching about the universal and undeserved goodness of God toward sinners. One of my favorite scriptures that you hear me, let's see, wasn't it? There it is, okay. That I quote all the time is Psalm 145, verse 9. The Lord is good to all. Which all is he talking about? Everybody. He's talking about the Lord is good to all. Whoever has been born on this earth has experienced the goodness of God. Everyone on this earth right now is experiencing the goodness of God, even though they may be tied up in sin. Hello. And his tender mercies are over all his works. Now, I don't know why, but I revel in this all day long. I think about the goodness of God, not just salvific. Obviously, through Jesus Christ is where I see the goodness of God coming, because Ephesians 1 and 3 says, oh, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, for the Christian, this is what's so beautiful about it. The Christian not only experiences common grace, we're thanking God for all the stuff. You know, I got a car, got a house, got heat, got food, got water, got all that. But beyond that, we're blessed in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing in the heaven. Now, those who experience common grace, unbelievers, are not blessed in the heavenly places in Christ. Hello? And so you revel in both. You just, oh God, your goodness, your goodness. So the Lord is good to all. I was telling the prayer service on Tuesday, my second job, I went to it, and my first job, when I knocked on the door, the woman answered the door, and she looked at me, and I could tell by the look on her face, something is wrong in this house. I don't know what it is, but she had a look on her face. And I was about to say, ma'am, are you all right? You know? So I go in. She's now, I want you to know, we have a unique situation here. I said, okay, I've been doing this for 35 years. I'm used to unique situations. Bring it on. Let's hear it. She says, well, we have an oxygen machine running and a tube, and can you clean around? I said, yeah, I can clean. I do that all the time. Long story short, I get to the end, and the man who is using the oxygen tube, which I haven't seen, he's around the corner somewhere, he yells out and says, hey! I'm like, he says, are you who cleaning the carpet? He said, come in here so I can see you. I was like, oh, Lord, okay. So I stepped in the next room, and there's this big guy sitting down. He's got the oxygen in his nose and everything. And he says, "Up." And I give them an estimate. I'm going back there in December. They want me to do some more work. And he says, will you come back next month? He said, I'm not even going to be here. I'll be dead and gone. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, the doctor's giving me it's bad news. And he said, I'm okay with it. You know, I'm not religious. I'm not anything. But I'm gonna be dead. My wife's a good wife. She's been taking care of me and everything. But when you come back next month, I probably won't even be here. And he was just so joyful and jolly about it. I was like, okay, I see why that look was on that woman's face. I looked at this fella, and I'm praying on the inside. Of course, you know, you're talking to Jesus while this man is talking. Like, oh God, have mercy on this man. He doesn't even know what he's going to, and yet he's. You know, he said, I won't even be here. I'm okay with it. I was about to say, no, sir, you won't be okay with it. If you don't, look, he says, I'm not religious. It doesn't matter. I'm like, yes, it does matter, sir. You've been experiencing all of God's goodness all your life long. He wasn't extremely old, but he was older than me. And but you've been experiencing all of God's goodness all this time. You ought to at least want to know about God. You know what I'm saying? So I was praying as I went out the door. I told his wife, I said, I'm praying for your husband. I want you to know I'm praying for your husband. See, I know where I'm at. I know where Daniel's where he. I know why each one of you are where you are, because God's going to use you to witness, to be a witness, to witness and be a witness to people who are all around you experiencing God's common grace, but who are desperately in need of God's salvific grace. Hello. Yeah. Look at this next scripture. Psalm 33 and 5. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The earth truly is full of the goodness of the Lord. Psalm 119, the psalmist wrote, the earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. It's full of your mercy. Indeed, the earth is full of the mercy of the Lord. Countless people. Paul spoke of God's goodness to all people when he addressed the idolaters at the idolaters at Lystra. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 16, Paul wrote this: God, who created the heavens and the seas and everything that's in the earth, in bygone generations, allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. God, he's speaking of a time when God did that, when Christ Jesus hadn't even come to the in his first incarnation. He hadn't come to the earth yet. It was bygone generations. How did God witness of himself? By his goodness toward people, by giving them rain and fruitful seasons. Does God always have to do that? Is he bound to do that? Obligated to do that? No. No, we're undeserving sinners. We don't deserve to perish. He did overthrow the earth with water. He could burn it with fire. He could have done that 2,000 years ago, but he didn't. Hence, you and I are saved today. But God revealed his goodness by giving the people what they needed. What did unbelievers do? Idolaters, they worshiped every god but the true God and thanked those gods for sending them rain. Hello. Indeed, our Thanksgiving holiday is founded upon the providence of God that sustained the pilgrims with the harvest in 1621. That's why this holiday that we celebrate is rooted. That they came over here on ships and they didn't die. And they had a harvest. Amen. They were able to feed themselves. The Indians helped them. Amen. And so they were giving thanks to God. It didn't say they were giving thanks to Jesus Christ. They were just giving thanks to God for his providence in their life. We see it all through the scripture. Psalm 104, verse 10, he sends the springs. God sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. Who makes sure every beast gets something to drink? God does. How often does he do it? Every day, all day long. It's God's common grace. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them, the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. Indeed, oh Lord. Well, we just got finished singing Indescribable, Uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky. You know them by name. God is the one who does all these things and keeps them, sustains all these things. Psalm 104 continues, he causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring food out of the earth. How are we eating today? Because God causes the land to be fruitful and to bring forth. Hello. And you got Elon Musk talking about going to Mars. For what? You can't cook. God didn't make Mars to bring forth. It's not bringing forth anything. You can't even breathe on Mars. What are you talking about? Lord, help us. Verse 15, and wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. God gives us everything we need to live. Isaiah said that the Lord created the earth to be inhabited. Come on now. Yes. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. The Indians taught the pilgrims how to tap the maple trees to get sap out to help sustain them. The cedars of Lebanon, which he planted, where the birds make their nest, the stork has her home in the fir trees. The high hills are for the wild goats. The cliffs are for refuge for the rock badgers. God is the one who created all these things and sustaining all things. And it's his common grace to all men, to all mankind, right? You see, Sproul continues, by common grace, God restrains sin. He restrains sin. Everyone, all of us aware of this scripture in the life of Abraham, when he went and said that Sarah was his sister. And so Abimelech took Sarah because he was going to put her in his harem. And he was going to eventually have sexual relations with this woman. And God came to him in a dream and said, you're a dead man. And Abimelech said, what do you mean? God says, the woman who you have taken is a man's wife. Now restore her. Unless, and God says, if you don't, God said, if you do, you're a dead man. Oh my goodness. And Abimelech said, well, Lord, I didn't know that she was somebody's wife. And God said to him in a dream, yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. Do you know how much God withholds people from sinning against him? Hello. Abimelech wasn't in covenant relationship with God. Hello. He didn't have a special relationship with God. God did this. Abraham was the one who was in covenant with God, had a special relationship with God, because God revealed himself to Abraham. But Abimelech withheld, God withheld Abimelech from sinning against him. That's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does the same thing today. You say, well, can you point to it? No, I'm pointing to it in scripture. God did it here. He doesn't. Has God ever kept you from sinning? Oh, I can point to one. I can point to one. This hilarious. Every time I think about it, this one sister who told me she was going to this party. She's a Christian. She's going to this party, and in her spirit, she kept hearing, "Don't go to this. Don't go to this." And she said, "No, I'm going. Yeah, I'm going. I'm going to this party." Got all dressed up, get the heels, you know, looking good, makeup and all this. Walked out the door and hit a patch of ice, slipped down and about killed herself. She's never forget. She's telling me this. She said, "Pastor, I killed myself." She said, "I got up, went back in the house and said, okay, Lord, I'm not going." I laughed so hard, I almost cried. I was like, well, you got the message. You got the message. God kept you from something. Hello? That party was going to be no good for you. Amen. I could point to other things, but I will go on. So common grace restrains from sin, but also common grace restrains evil. Restrains evil. You remember when the Lord put a mark on Cain, and Cain said, the punishment that you've given me is too severe for me. If anybody finds me, they're going to kill me. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. You say, what is the mark? I don't know. But the Lord put this mark on Cain, lest anyone to keep them from doing the evil of killing him. God was restraining evil. He's restraining evil. We see it again in 1 Samuel 25. You remember Nabal and Abigail, this rich man who had plenty, that David's men kept him when they were out in the wilderness. No one harmed Nabal's people, the shepherds and all this. No one stole from them. David says, hey, at the time of the feast, David said, hey, Nabal, you know, my men were very good to you. Could you give us a little something since you're so rich? Could you give us a little something since we protected you all the time that you were in the wilderness, in the desert? Nabal said, go talk to the hand, bro. This is for me and me and my people. You crazy if you think I'm giving you something. And so David told his men, everybody get your sword. David said, I'm going to kill every man. Went off. David said, I'm going to kill every man that belongs to Nabal. And after the Lord prevented him from doing that, David, we see this. David said, blessed be the Lord who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and has kept his servant from evil. David was talking about himself. God has kept me from evil. For the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. David was going to kill Nabal. He was going to murder Nabal. But God struck Nabal as judgment and took his life. God did it. And David didn't have to do it. God kept Nabal from bringing vengeance upon him who had done him wrong. Why? Because the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay, not you. So he goes on by common grace, God restrains us from misery and wrath in this fallen world while conferring general non-redemptive blessings on all mankind. Non-redemptive blessings, if you can picture such a thing. It's hard for me because I'm always concentrated on Acts chapter 3:26. But non-redemptive favor, right? We see it in 2 Peter chapter 3, where Peter said, there are those who are saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of the Lord, the word of God, the heavens were of old. By the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. So God sustained the world that was Noah's world, that was in the water and out of the water, until he brought judgment upon it. He sustained it by his word. Then Peter goes on and says, the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. God is holding back judgment, fiery judgment. He's holding back the judgment that is coming upon the world. This earth and the heavens that now exist are being preserved. In other words, God is holding back his holy wrath, and everyone now is experiencing common grace by God's holding back wrath. But that's not going to remain forever. Hello? That's not going to endure forever. So, where else do we see it? We see it in the teachings of Jesus. We mention this scripture all the time. At least I do, Matthew 5, 44 and 45. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. God is good to evil people today. How? So, by causing his sun to shine on them. God is good to unjust people today. How? He sends rain on the earth. That's for everybody. He does this way. That's God's common grace. And what I'm finding in my life right now is I'm rejoicing in it like I never have before. Like I never have before. Thanking God for his goodness and for his mercies that everybody receives, that everyone receives. I was cleaning carpet on Friday, and this guy, I told, he says, thanks for coming and fitting us in. I said, you're like one of the last ones, because I'm going to visit my wife. He said, as you should. He said, this is my favorite holiday of the year, is giving thanks. And I don't know if he's a believer or what. I just go and clean people's carpet until a door opens up, and then we'll talk. And yet he's rejoicing. He's giving thanks for all that he has. Jesus said also in Luke chapter 6, but love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because of for he, God, is kind. Look at that. God is kind to the unthankful and the evil. So should we be kind to the unthankful and the evil? Yes, that's exactly what this scripture is saying. Christians are not supposed to fight fire with fire. Hello? Paul said in Romans, 15? Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. He's saying the same thing Jesus said here, for God is kind to the unthankful and the evil. It's a picture of God's common grace. Archie Spoor goes on, as distinguished from special saving grace, common grace is a necessary aspect of the continuance of life in this fallen world. It restrains evil and confers goodness on mankind as a whole, reflecting God's attributes of goodness, mercy, and justice. God confers common grace on mankind to encourage sinners to repent and trust Christ. Let me read that again. God confers common grace on mankind to encourage sinners to repent and trust in Christ, which is specific grace. And that explains why I remember as a child, while I was living in the concrete jungle of Chocolate City, which is DC, I remember outside playing, looking up at the sky and stating, there must be a God somewhere, because who did this? That's what I remember being 7 or 8 years old, outside playing, minding my business, and looking up and saying, what? Who? Not what did it. Who did this? Why did I say that as a young child? Because as a young child, we in school, we sang things like this. Over my head, I hear music in the air. There must be a God somewhere. We used to sing them. So I was enthralled by the heavens, by the firmament, and said there got to be a God somewhere, because man didn't do this. Hello. It was just so awe-inspiring, so overwhelming, just looking at the heavens. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament shows forth his handiwork. It's exactly what God did, and that's what R.C. Sproul is saying here. God confers common grace on mankind to encourage sinners to repent and to trust in Christ. Paul put it this way in Romans 2:4, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? The goodness of God. And so as we share the gospel with people, we can point to the goodness of God in common grace to, as Paul did, to the idolaters in Lystra, and said, the God who had made the world and all things in it and given you fruitful and seasons and everything, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. Because let's be clear, the one thing common grace does not do, it does not address the forgiveness of sins. It gives you everything you need. It provides everything you need for you to live. That's what Paul said in Acts 17, that God has given us life, breath, and all things. He's given that to all people. But common grace does not provide for the forgiveness of sins. Only through the blood of Jesus Christ are sins forgiven and reckoned with. So on Judgment Day, virtually no one will be able to say, I never saw or experienced the goodness or witness of God. No one will be able to say that. Why? Because God has revealed it to everyone. Again, Psalm 19. Mercy continues. On Judgment Day, the common grace experienced by the unrepentant and their failure to thank God for it will factor into their punishment. This doctrine has been the subject of no small controversy over the past century, especially among Dutch Reformed theologians. Well, you know, anytime, you know, any doctrine, it wouldn't be a doctrine if us human beings didn't fight over every last bit of it. That's just what we do. When someone says this is what we, the other person, well, I disagree, and then we split all the stuff, all the things that we do. God have mercy. I think when this is all said and done, we're going to look at it and see God's going to reveal what he did. Because let's be clear, God is the one who's done it all. He's done it all. In spite, when Paul and Barnabas couldn't agree to take Mark on the mission with them, the apostles that God was using to spread the gospel, when they couldn't agree and keep it together and split up, God used Paul with Silas and he used Barnabas with Mark. But God still got his work done. God still accomplished his will of spreading the gospel throughout the whole world, even though we are fighting about everything. Sometimes you look at it and you say to yourself, dear God, only you. Let me read this summary that I found. While humanity is totally depraved and deserving of God's wrath, God mercifully postpones his destroying wrath and graciously blesses all men, even apart from salvation. This is called God's common grace. Common grace includes all undeserved blessings that natural man receives from the hand of God. Rain, sun, prosperity, health, happiness, natural capacities and gifts, and sin being restrained from complete dominion, etc. The doctrine of common grace explains how a man can be totally depraved yet still commit acts that are, in some sense, quote unquote, good. This common grace, however, falls short of salvific grace. All humans still need the saving work of the Spirit to reconcile them to God. And so this is why we preach Christ and Him crucified to whoever will hear the gospel message. When I go back to that customer's house, if that man is still alive, amen. I had another job that I had to go to. If I have the time, I'm praying that I would be able to share the good news of the gospel with this man who has this death sentence, if you will, on his life. For an ungrateful heart is blind to the common grace that has come to all men. The ungrateful heart is blind to the common grace. The typical everyday unbeliever, they have no clue. They don't give God thanks for everything that God does for them on the daily, right? Only special grace can change the heart of stone to a heart of flesh. Thanks be to God for His gift of common grace, but even more so, Lord Jesus. Thanks be to God for His gift of saving grace through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Any comments or questions on the teaching? All right. Well, we're going to be thanking God. Well, we do it every day. Hello. Come on. Every day.
Amen.
But as a nation, we're going to be observing, you know, Thanksgiving this Thursday. And be a blessing. So for all those who are traveling, we're praying, you know, that God would simply keep everyone as he so mercifully and faithfully does each and every day.
Amen.
All right. God bless you all. Thank you for coming on again. Thank you, Pastor Bill, for closing us in prayer. We will see you Tuesday. The prayer will be, I'll be down there, but we're still going to have prayer. So Thanksgiving
praise
prayer.
God.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all.
God bless
you. Bless you.